Greetings, this is Pastor Eric Dale, and although we've recorded a number of the sermons and posted them previously, this is being recorded in the midst of our shelter at home and stopping of gathering of when we've stopped meeting and having our Sunday morning worship. So I will be introducing the sermon a little bit more broadly and specifically than I have in the past. And so I just wanted to remind everyone that the March 15th sermon and the service was to be a celebration of spring, of the vernal equinox. And part of that is that the reminder of our Lenten devotional is for the beauty of the earth. I hope all of you are following along on that or having the opportunity. It's looking at God's creation and how we're connected through it and how our faith is a major part of how we can be connected and celebrate God's glorious creation. So we have that. That's behind part of what's behind today's sermon. And so today's sermon is titled Growing in God, the Parable of the Sower. I'll be reading from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13, verses 1 through 9. Hear the lively word of God. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the ground. And as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some a hundredfold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. One of the wonders of a good story is that it can be heard in many different ways. What you hear can be different at different times, in different contexts, among different people. I wonder how many ways you have heard this story of the sower who went out to sow. And I wonder what you hear today. Jesus began, a sower went out to sow. And so one place to start is there, with the sower. How do you feel about the gardener, the sower? What do you think about that gardener sowing those seeds? When you think about this gardener, what do you think about her or him? What words might you use to describe them? He's out there doing his business, sowing his seed, casting it out far and wide, so far and wide that it falls all over the place. Some on the path, some on rocky ground, some among thorns, and some in good soil. Shouldn't the sower have been a bit more careful about what he was doing? You know, but God the gospel farmer, has no compunction about tossing seed anywhere and everywhere, whether or not it will have much of a shot at succeeding. Why, you might ask? Well, because unlike real farmers who love and lavish attention on only the good field, God as farmer loves every field, every plot of land, every heart. God cannot look at his own image bearers and fail to spy people that God loves. Their hearts may be hard as asphalt, having accumulated years and years and layers of cynicism, but God loves them anyway and keeps throwing the gospel their way. Other hearts may be as shallow and ignorant as can be, having been eroded by, I don't know, too much television and too little reflection, but God loves them anyway and so keeps tossing the gospel their way. Other hearts may be so crowded that God can hardly see the way through the thicket of concerns about money and family and justice and politics and you name it. But God loves them anyway, and so keeps dropping gospel seeds into that overcrowded environment. If you have ears to hear, then listen. Well, what about all those different soils? The explanation that Matthew gives suggests that each soil is a different person, a different response to the word that is sown. And this is the world that we know, the world as we know it, where different people respond in many different ways to the gospel, from complete indifference through shallow acceptance and eventually falling away to fruitful lives that produce more seed for food and for sowing. Jesus himself faced this range of responses. And at this point in Matthew's gospel, he had just faced a series of challenges and a range of opposition. His early popularity with the crowds had also produced enemies, and they were powerful. The early church for whom Matthew was written was itself facing trouble and persecution and needed encouragement to know that this did not mean that they had failed, nor that the gospel had failed. Rather, they could take heart that an abundant harvest was promised to those who heard and understood. If you have ears to hear, then listen. Well, what about if we consider the soils as different conditions within an individual, and then ask the question, what is needed to cultivate good soil? Are there areas in my life where I have become hardened and indifferent to God? Where have troubles and difficulties become so urgent that God's word cannot take root? Where have I become distracted, lured away, too busy with too many things so that what had been growing has shriveled up, producing nothing? And how might I cultivate the soil in my life? What about the water of the Spirit, or even the benefit of a good hard frost, digging out rocks to make more space, getting rid of the weeds, going over the soil with rake and hoe, prayer and helping others, and Bible reading and showing kindness and fellowship with God's people, working for justice and peace? All of these are the means of grace that could be used as spade and hoe and rake to cultivate good soil in my life. If you have ears to hear, then listen. Well, then what about that harvest? Some 100-fold, as it said, some 60, some 30? Given the apparent indifference of the sower to the outcome, it could be seen as miraculous that any of the seed was able to produce a crop, and the quantity seems to indicate an unexpected abundance. And so this story is then a tale of hope. Hope that the harvest is not reliant on human effort, but on God's grace poured out in superabundance. If you have ears to hear, then listen. A sower went to sow, and of course he sowed seeds. A seed is small, and when it's sown, it disappears to all intents and purposes. You can't see seed growing. Unless you're a child planting your first garden and you're wanting to dig it up every day or two to see if anything's happening yet. I don't know if you might remember that or if you have kids, but you learn quickly that seeds won't grow unless they're left alone. So what does this parable suggest about the way God works in the world? Through what is small and hidden, growing in secret. Is that the way we expect God to act? Is it in the dark and hidden, but rich and nourishing places that we look for signs of God in action? And what about that other thing that Jesus said? Unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much grain. That's from the Gospel of John, chapter 12. For that surely is what we see happening here. The seed is effective. It does what it's meant to do, taking root and springing up. Even the seed which is eaten by birds. You know, seeds are not destroyed when the birds eat them, right? In fact, seeds are more widely distributed just because after they've been eaten by birds, they pass through their digestive systems and they're deposited in distant locations where they can then germinate effectively. And as for the rest of the seed, well, it germinates. It does what it was meant to do. But the fruitfulness, the productivity it is able to achieve, depends on the readiness of the soil to receive it and allow it to flourish. If you have ears to hear, then listen. For a final take on the parable of the sower, listen to Joy Cowley's poem called Growth. I thank you, bountiful sower, that you do not choose good soil alone. You cast your abundant blessings over the entire landscape of existence, knowing that conditions may change and barren soil may become fertile ground. My old hard paths of judgmental thought have become softened by a rain of tears and are ready for new growth. My stony places have small patches of rich soil that are waiting to receive the seed of truth. And last year's crop of thistles has moldered in down to a compost that will grow strong plants and a good crop of fruit. I am so grateful, bountiful sower, that my growth does not depend on my unstable earthly condition, but on your endless, abundant giving. And so a sower went out to sow. How do you hear Jesus' story today? Amen.